Aside from philosophy, and clearly these two men really mark the beginning of Western thinking, in, even more so than the pre-Socratic philosophers, in other areas we again can attest to the vigour of the 4th century. For example, in the writing of history, we have new interesting developments in the period after Thucydides, particularly in the writing of the Athenian gentleman Xenophon. Now, Xenophon's work, when compared to Thucydides, particularly his historical work, often seems to suffer by comparison. He does not display the same kind of subtlety of thinking, nor the same kind of elegance of arrangement that Thucydides does in his history. But what is remarkable about Xenophon is not the quality of one particular work, but the sheer range of his interests. Because what we have with Xenophon is a man who wrote a history of his own times in 8 books, the Hellenica as it's called, a history that took Greek affairs and all of Greek affairs from the end of Thucydides' history all the way down to the 360s, so covering the whole half century we've been talking about. A man who also wrote biography. He wrote a biography of the Spartan king Agesilaus. A man who wrote political pamphlets, both about the tyrants of Sicily and also, more close to home, about how the affairs of Athens should be run. This is the first man to write a pamphlet about taxation, with actual suggestions to the Athenian state about how it might raise more taxes and make more secure the finances of the Athenian state. And in addition, he writes about such things as how a cavalry commander should be trained. He has the long piece we've already looked at once before in this class on household management, the Oikonomikos. He has handbooks on how hunting dogs should be trained. The range of the man's ideas and thinking is absolutely astonishing. And in a way, we're better served having him than we are Thucydides in one respect, because he gives us a glimpse into the world of the aristocratic Athenian man of 400 BC. What he writes about, these are the things that are of interest to the ruling class, the elite class of Athens at this time. In the area of rhetoric, the 5th and the 4th century cannot stand comparison. The 4th century is vastly superior. It is in the 4th century, for example, that we will end up with the titanic confrontation of Demosthenes and Aeschines. These two men, bitter political opponents, fighting each other over the whole question of how Athens should deal with the phenomenon of Philip of Macedon. And their speeches represent the absolute pinnacle of ancient oratory, and it was recognized as such in antiquity. When Cicero, the Roman orator, wrote denunciations of Mark Antony, he called them Philippics because they were modeled on the denunciations of Philip by Demosthenes. In art, the 4th century also is a period still of interesting development. Scopas, Lysippus, Praxiteles. These are the great new artists of the 4th century, and they, in their work, show an interest in more individuality, in the inner soul, in the life, the interior life of the people who they show in their statues. This will be taken off in the Hellenistic period even further, so that during that time we will find an interest in anguish and torment and a range of human emotions that never get expressed in classical art whatsoever. So we're moving away from the Olympian calm of the Apollo who stands over the pediment at Olympia and without any expression on his face watches over the conflict between the Lapiths and the Centaurs to a world in which artists observe the people around them and are interested in their humanity. In the same way that Aristotle's student Theophrastus is interested in ordinary people. He produces a series of character sketches called the superstitious man and the angry man and the mean man. So it is the people of everyday life, the people of the community that are of interest to these writers. And in much the same way then, Menander, the playwright of the 4th century, will also be interested in individuals, families, not the polis any longer, but a new world, a world of the individual family. So it's difficult to sum up the 4th century. It's probably audacious to try to sum up any single century, but I think we can say that it is an ironic century in which politically the affairs of the Greeks will come to an abrupt halt overshadowed by Macedon, but a period in which, in cultural terms, we're still seeing the same vigour of the classical period reaching its culmination.